Looking for your next favorite podcast? Start here.
The reason behind the ordinance was to bring awareness to the public that many people within our county believe that he exists and that he would deserve protection. And I say he, but I assume there are both male and female Sasquatches.
We have to be true to our institutional mission, which is to show contemporary art, no matter how problematic. All the board, it was unanimous, voted to keep the exhibition on our schedule.
So we are very fortunate in Cincinnati, not only for our schools, but also in terms of our community partners and people who truly have a vested interest in not only our schools, but also within the city.
Featured today, samples from Ripley's Believe It or Not cast, Bleeped, and Making Progress. Welcome to Start Here from Cincinnati Public Radio. I'm Trip Eldridge, your podcast jockey. Each week, we sample and highlight three podcasts to help you navigate the exploding podcast world and maybe find your next podcast obsession. Plus, get an email summary of each podcast we feature with our weekly Start Here email blast. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and select the Start Here blast email at the bottom of the page. And if you like what you hear, please rate us at Apple Podcasts. A 5-star rating will help others find us in the iTunes gallery. With special thanks to Cincinnati Public Radio's Wiser Advisors, Jim Nolan and Kevin Reynolds, and writing, research, and curation support from Connor Eldridge, let's start here. This week's first podcast comes to you from the longtime home of weird and wacky news, Ripley's Believe It or Not. It's called the Ripley's Believe It or Not cast, and it's the perfect place to get familiar with the world of the peculiar. Join hosts Ryan Clark and Brett Donaldson each week for a deep dive into Ripley's universe, featuring interviews with leaders in the odd and obscure from around the world. Get inside the walls of Area 51 or the Vatican Archives, hear an interview with an official exorcist, or much more as Believe It or Not cast guides you on a journey through all things you never knew you needed to know. Here's a sample for you. It's the first episode of Ripley's Believe It or Not cast called Cryptids and the Law. The episode looks at what the wild world of cryptid hunting is like, but from a new angle. Ryan and Brett have cast aside the conventional debate of real versus hoax, digging into the laws on hunting monsters and what they would be if they were real. What would happen if someone snared Bigfoot or reeled in the Loch Ness Monster? You have to listen to find out.
Why is there a law to protect Bigfoot in the first place?
That ordinance was created quite some time ago, back in the late 60s, early 70s, I believe it was. And it was created to give protection to Bigfoot, or Sasquatch, as some people like to call him. And part of it, the reason for creating the ordinance was the recognition of the fact that we believe Sasquatch, if he were to exist anywhere, would exist in Skamania County and would need the protection of the local county government so that he would be viewed as a humanoid and have the protection of the law and not be considered wild game and could not be hunted. The reason behind the ordinance was to bring awareness to the public that many people within our county believe that he exists and that he would deserve protection. And I say he, but I assume there are both male and female Sasquatches. And I also assume that people who are looking for him probably don't mean him any ill will. But we also wanted to make sure that the public knows that he is a protected species. One time we had a group of junior high kids come down to the county courthouse, and we were talking about the creation of ordinances by county commissioners and explaining to them, and we used this particular ordinance as an example. And one of the young students asked me, well, if Bigfoot were to attack me, can I shoot at him and kill him then? And I said, yes, because it's a matter of self-defense. We treat this ordinance has in that it gives protection to Bigfoot, not only in the sense that you can't go out and stalk Bigfoot. He is protected against people going out trying to find him and do him harm. But at the same time, it's like with any law, you have the right for self-protection.
So that's Bob talking about the ordinance. In a later interview, he explained to me a little bit about the process through which a law is actually made. He said, to formally create an ordinance requires holding a public hearing and taking comments from both the public and staff. The county then deliberates before passing the proposed ordinance. As in most laws, he said, they work better if they come from the bottom up from the people and not from the top down from elected authorities. He also said, quote, I wasn't here when the original ordinance was passed, but from what I've heard, there was no opposition and there was a lot of pride in taking ownership of the legend that surrounds Bigfoot.
A sample from Ripley's Believe It or Not cast gets some help explaining the unexplainable with the Believe It or Not cast, available now on WVXU's Podcast Central. Next up is our featured new addition to the Podcast Central Library, and this week's feature is called Bleeped, a podcast about censorship and the people who stand up to it. By zooming in on exact historical moments of censorship and resistance in its face, Bleeped seeks to explore what we can learn about our culture through the things we try to cover up. With stories of bravery and determination in the face of overwhelming pressure and constraint, Bleeped paints the picture of a world that's as much shaped by the things we try to hide as it is by the things we're proud of. Each episode tells a David and Goliath sort of story of an individual who triumphed over censorship from a powerful organization, reminding listeners that the little guy can always fight back and win. Here's a sample for you from the second episode of Bleeped, titled There's No Sin in Cincinnati. The episode, which we featured recently on WVXU's Cincinnati Edition with Michael Monks, details the events of the 1990 controversy that swept the city with the Cincinnati Contemporary Arts Center tried to exhibit an explicit collection of Robert Mapplethorpe photos. The episode is the story of how the city tried and eventually failed to stop him.
They looked at a few of those photos, and I think they were aghast.
Then after the shock wore off, Dennis made his case.
And I said, I will resign if they are not comfortable with taking the exhibition. Because I thought it quite honestly violated the First Amendment, the rights of a museum to show what it thought was important to show.
And then the board members put it to a vote.
The overall sentiment in the room was that we have to be true to our institutional mission, which is to show contemporary art, no matter how problematic. All the board, it was unanimous, voted to keep the exhibition on our schedule.
Before the meeting was adjourned, the board made one more suggestion in case things got messy.
We did have a couple of lawyers on our board. They said, listen, there's a good firm right here in town called Sirkin Mezabob. The firm had a long history of fighting First Amendment cases.
Well, they came to talk to us and they were concerned about what could happen and could they be prepared as to what to do. I'm H. Lewis Sirkin. I'm a practicing trial lawyer.
The board and I were very happy to have them come on as in our defense.
An exhibition of Mapplethorpe's photographs has been touring the country. It has now reached Cincinnati.
The exhibit opened to our membership the night before, and we had long lines on an April night that turned out to be a snowy night. I remember we went to a restaurant after the opening, had a few drinks, and we kind of all sighed that nothing had happened. I went home exhausted and then got up the next morning thinking, well, it's just going to be another morning. An hour or two before we were scheduled to open, I went down to the Contemporary Arts Center. I mean, there were just a few of the staff there, and we had long lines waiting to get in. I can't remember the actual numbers. It was staggering.
But after the exhibit opened, the Contemporary Arts Center wasn't the only building in downtown Cincinnati that was busy.
Our courthouse is normally closed on Saturday, and there were people that we had scouting up there to see if the courthouse was open and whether there was any activity going on. And apparently there was. We found out that 12 of the initial first people that came in, the Contemporary Arts Center, were accompanied by a member of the Sheriff's Department who had brought them in, and they went through the exhibit.
The 12 people looked at the photos and then went back to the courthouse and convened a grand jury. They were asked to decide whether or not the museum violated the law by displaying Mapplethorpe's photos.
The judge called and said that there had been an indictment.
In Cincinnati today, a local grand jury indicted the center and its director on obscenity charges,
charging that 7 Mapplethorpe pictures on display are obscene.
A sample from Bleeped with host Matthew Billy. Check out some of the most compelling case studies in the reach of the First Amendment with Bleeped, now available on WVXU's Podcast Central. Thanks to this week's featured local podcast, you can stay up to the minute, updated on all the latest from Cincinnati Public Schools. Join host Clyde Gray and CPS Superintendent Laura Mitchell on their new podcast, Making Progress, for an inside look at the strategic priorities, new initiatives, and partnerships designed to strengthen our city's public schools. Each week, Clyde and Laura get together to talk about the new CPS developments, exploring what the district is doing, and plans to help prepare students for success throughout their lives. Whether you've got children in CPS schools or just interested in education administration, Making Progress is the perfect place to stay in the loop on how schools are bettering themselves, and as a result, how they're bettering our children. Here's a sample listen for you from the first episode of Making Progress titled Meet Laura. In the installment, Laura and Clyde talk about a wide range of topics, including strategic partnerships with potential employers and the things that Laura has learned in her first 90 days as superintendent. In this clip, Laura talks about the strengths of CPS as well as the biggest challenges facing a district of this size.
So that kind of naturally leads to a question about what, at this point, in your view at least, are the greatest assets on the one hand for Cincinnati Public Schools, and the greatest challenges, on the other hand, for CPS?
So I believe that some of our greatest assets are, quite honestly, in the sheer complement of schools that we have. So we have 62 schools and just a wide variety of options for families and for students to be able to choose. And so we have magnet schools, we have neighborhood schools, we have wonderful high school options, we have schools with career tech programs within them. And so I think that one of our biggest assets is really around this really wide range of schools in which parents can choose. Another great asset for CPS is the fact that we are in a city that is very generous in terms of their time, their interest, and their money. And so we have lots of wonderful partners who are engaged in the work with us. And that is unlike you see a lot of other large urban districts across the nation. So we are very fortunate in Cincinnati, not only for our schools, but also in terms of our community partners and people who truly have a vested interest in not only our schools, but also within the city.
And if you had to identify some challenges, what would those be?
So we have some challenges, obviously, around the state report card. I think that that's a major challenge that really just measures a very small instance in time that doesn't really acknowledge some of the work that our kids do around project-based learning, learning that's a little bit more hands-on, critical thinking. So I would say that that's one of the challenges that we often face within a large urban district.
A sample from the local podcast, Making Progress, with Clyde Gray and Laura Mitchell. Get a glimpse inside the administration that's shaping the future of education in our city with Making Progress. Available now on WVXU's Podcast Central. To the charts we go, our regular look at the Apple Podcast charts via iTunescharts.net to see what's rocking the podcast world. Here's True Crime at the top of the charts again, but this time it's royal style. It's the new podcast, Noble Blood. Author Dana Schwartz explores the stories of some of history's most fascinating royals, the tyrants and the tragic, the murderers and the murdered, and everyone in between. Because when you're wearing a crown, mistakes often mean blood. That's Noble Blood, topping the Apple Podcast charts. And to learn more about that and others, check out the Start Here email. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and choose the Start Here newsletter from the bottom of the page. Thank you for joining us for Start Here, Cincinnati Public Radio's Discovery Podcast. For more information about podcasts we like, check out Podcast Central at wvxu.org. And remember, if you've got a podcast or an episode you'd like to recommend, email us at podcast@wvxu.org or call us at 513-294-8030, and we'll add your voice to ours. For now, I'm Trip Eldridge for Cincinnati Public Radio, and thank you for choosing to start here.